You know, you would be genuinely surprised by the amount of people I regularly encounter online who still believe in the quote-unquote patriarchy, the patriarchy, with a definite article, you know, the thing. Now, admittedly, some of these people belong to ideological circles and or received certain types of education at university, but not all of them have done that or fit that category. And even the people that don't officially believe in the patriarchy still subscribe to some version of a soft patriarchy, in the sense that even now, in today's day and age, the middle of 2025, in the year of Zeus, so to speak, even now, there's still this overweening, overarching patriarchal structure that infuses everything, and that men are still the primary beneficiaries of pretty much everything goes on in society, from income to social programs to education, and just generally speaking, plain old life outcomes. Now, if you point out certain stats to these people, especially the more ideological types, the ones that are really, really, really affixed to the idea of the patriarchy, and say, look, actually, men and boys are not doing particularly well. Look at these stats here, homelessness, education, self-deletion, this sort of thing. Well, what is their counter to this? Well, the hardliners will always say something to the effect of patriarchy hurts men too. It's this really strange circular argumentation when it comes to these people, avowed feminists and people who deeply subscribe to this notion of quote-unquote the patriarchy. And I've talked about this before, but if you press them and ask for a point of origin, and I think that's important for anything. When you're establishing an idea, or even just a principle, or trying to understand when something happened. When did the dinosaurs go extinct? When did mammals emerge onto the scene of life? This sort of thing. You need to establish what one might call an etiology, as if it were a disease in this case, although it's not quite. Although in the case of feminism, it might be. Namely, when did it start? How did it start? You ask these people about patriarchy, they don't ever have a good answer to that one. They have an answer to how men are suffering with this patriarchy hurts men too. They have an answer to everything within the circuitous logic of their existence and their proclaimed beliefs, but they don't have an answer to the origin. How did it all come to be? Now, admittedly, in the past, there were some quote-unquote soft patriarchal structures that maintained civilization, allowed things to move on and progress, and these were necessities due to the interaction between our human biology and the vicissitudes and the dangers and limitations of the environment that we existed in. They will never offer you any explanation for that. They will never, ever offer you an explanation along the lines of biology. Now, the reality is, the harsh reality comes down to this, gentlemen. At the end of the day, there is a major dividing line between quote-unquote normies, people who you would classify as having just conventional beliefs, but also these extreme ideologues that I've been talking about, and certain other individuals. And I would include myself here. Now, I'm not claiming that I'm special by any means. However, I am claiming, and those who think like me, to be in a minority group of thinkers when it comes to these issues. Namely, that the first thought I have when I think about human beings and how they interact with the world is that we are just another type of animal. We're a very interesting type of animal. I think we're more interesting than gerbils or rats or even potentially other primates. Certainly more interesting than non-mammals. But we are still animals, mammals, primates, various subcategories of animals. And when you approach trying to understand the world, the human world, human behavior, and how everything interacts, including ideology, as it has emerged in the 20th century or the 19th century, or even going way back to the emergence of religion, because again, I view religion from a biological perspective. It's a bit more complicated there, but how can you explain the emergence of religion in terms of evolution, human psychology, and how it interacts with our biology, indeed physiology in some cases. If your approach is that, then anytime you interact with extreme ideologues, particularly of left-wing bent, but also ideologues of the right-wing bent, because there are plenty, especially religious types, who will vehemently deny our status as animals, you're going to be just talking past each other nonstop. Never mind absolute normies who just don't fit any category. You know, the types that sort of loosely, vaguely believe that society is still infused by these patriarchal energies and men are still largely the beneficiaries of stuff. Things have improved. They don't really believe in a hardline patriarchy or the patriarchy, but they just have beliefs that they've sort of scooped up over their years or their lifetimes, and they don't even believe very strongly in them, but they sort of believe it more or less loosely. All of these people, when you're trying to engage with them in terms of argumentation, you are going to run into an impasse. That impasse is the fundamental different perspective between how you look at the world and how they look at the world. And all of these other groups, be they super conservative religious people who are very right-wing in most respects, or super ideological left-wing people. Well, at least in conventional terms, not religious. Although you could make an argument that they are in fact religious. And indeed, the middle-of-the-road normie types. All these people are operating using different software. The software package being, humans are special. We're always special. We're always different. Now, admittedly, we can all sometimes fall prey to this category of thinking when we're charged up with emotion, when we're deeply involved in something, when we're not feeling well, we're tired, whatever. But paradigmatically, the distinction is how you look at the world from, say, my perspective, and I assume many of you in the audience as well, versus pretty much the vast majority of people. And this is why, when it comes down to it, when you boil it down to the nuts and bolts, you cannot really convince these people and why you can never have a productive conversation and why society as a whole seems static and stuck in this rut that we observe constantly. Because basically, the default baseline position is not that we are animals and then extrapolate pretty much everything from the animal status onto pretty much everything else, behavior, psychology, culture, all these things, but rather we have somehow escaped that animal status. Now, I've stated multiple times in the past that in some sense, I appreciate the religious conservative right-wing types more in their denial of evolution and their animal status, because at least they're consistent. The left-wing people typically will pay lip service to the theory of evolution. They will pay lip service to human biology and biological reality, but very few of their theories align with that reality. And they almost never take into account evolutionary biology and just the restraints that biology places upon us when trying to account for the world and trying to form a picture or description of the world. And as I've just said, in this sense, I appreciate the right a bit more. But I'm convinced, gentlemen, that this fundamental difference, which seems like a small difference, you might think, is really the key to cracking the code. I think a lot of this boils down to education. I've talked about this in the past. If somehow we could change the educational system and tailor it more towards an understanding of how we exist in reality as animals, the underlying reality, where evolutionary theory were presented as the primary driving force in terms of just about everything under the sun as we understand ourselves within the scope of our behavior, we might be able to turn this runaway train around, maybe. Now, of course, getting there seems nigh impossible. You have, in the United States, lots of religious conservative types. You have the education system, which is infused with extreme left-wing ideology, which is fundamentally opposed to evolutionary theory and biological explanations for anything. And outside of the states, you have, well, other types of religion, such as Islam, which is a outsized presence in Europe, one could say, as well as other parts of the world. And so getting there is the real issue. I think if we were there, you could really just turn the ship around maybe within a generation, possibly. Because ultimately, this is an environmental issue to some large degree. Obviously, we all have our genetic inclinations. Some people will just always reject certain things based on their genetic proclivities. However, basically, people believe these things for the most part because they were taught them. If you teach them something different, something in my view that's true, that would help understand this broader scope of the human dilemma, human existence, then you might be able to right this ship rather easily, setting aside the small percentage of people who just would never buy into it regardless. Now, you do have to consider certain things. Why are people opposed to this idea of being an animal? Well, both, again, the left and right share this notion, and both the left and right want to ascribe to human beings a type of dignity that they believe is strongly attached to a non-animal status, namely your human status. In the case of the religious right, it might be endowed by the creator, some divine deity. In the case of the left, it's sort of the magic of culture and social conditioning, which has allowed us to overcome our nature, and therefore we are worthy of dignity. I don't really think dignity is attached to one's status as an animal or not. Now, if you're not an animal or a pet abuser, you're probably going to treat your dog nicely, right? Does your dog not afford dignity in being treated nicely with pets and quality food and good health care because your dog is an animal? It's a bit weird, right? But again, this has a lot to do with ego, and ego is indeed a huge obstacle here, probably the primary one. How you bypass that, how you get there, I don't know. So I'm definitely not optimistic in terms of, well, getting through to people. Even now, despite the presence of things like the internet and YouTube and Twitter/X and all these other outlets where you have scientists who are involved in evolutionary biology, scientists who are involved in evolutionary psychology, and so on and so forth, publishing videos, talking about things, tweeting, making posts in general, it still only reaches a fraction of people. And if it does, it's a bit too late, right? Because reaching a 30 or 40 year old individual is not going to be as effective as reaching a 5 or 10 year old individual with this information. Now, I know I've talked about this before, but this is a drum that needs to be beaten continuously until something changes. Because this is the fundamental core issue. Are we animals or are we not? And as we are animals, can we understand our behavior? Can we understand how things came to be? And can we modulate and make adjustments in accordance with that animal nature, with our animal psychology or animal biology, physiology? If we continue in denying this, and for all I know, there might be some large-scale psychological impediment that prevents most people from believing this, who knows, then we are forever going to be stuck in this rut. But it's another reason, I might add, gentlemen, why, generally speaking, I don't engage in discussions or arguments with the vast majority of people online anymore because of this impasse. There's just no point. If you believe humans are special, then none of the rules of nature or animal kind apply to us. And at that point in time, the discussion serves no purpose, and every point you'll make will be a moot point. But as always, thank you for tuning in. Many special thanks to my very generous patrons and my donors on PayPal. You guys are the best. Without you, this channel could not exist. Thank you so much. And if you can engage in the usual YouTube jazz of liking the video, leaving a comment, subscribing if you're not yet subbed, maybe sharing the video, and hitting the bell icon to be informed of my videos would be much appreciated. If I'm still alive, I'll check you out then. May the gods truly watch over you. Bye-bye for now. If you liked this video, please like, share, and subscribe. And if you enjoy my content, please consider making a donation or becoming a patron. Thanks for watching.